to remind you that Epiphany means to reveal, to illuminate. And today we celebrate, as you've already heard, we celebrate the light of Christ coming into the world. A part of noticing the light, and it took Lois to notice God's artwork on the windows this morning. God must have stayed up late or got up early to create that for us. I reflect just a few minutes on Isaiah's text. The word of the Lord comes to Isaiah. Those who walk in darkness, arise. Your light has already come. The glorious presence of God is already upon you. The passage from what's known as 3rd Isaiah, the last section of the book, toward the end of the scroll, the people of God had recently returned from Babylon, where they had been prisoners of war. They returned back to Jerusalem, and while there was great joy on the return, that joy was short-lived, for they returned to a devastated land. What were the people feeling likely? Probably great depression and sadness at seeing the devastation of their homes and their farms and villages destroyed by war. A depressing situation, likely. And here, into this context, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Those of you who walk in darkness, arise, shine, get up, get going. Your light has already come. God's light is already shining upon you." And he said, "Lift up your heads. Those of you who have your chins down, lift them up. Those of you who've closed your eyes, open them. See the light that is shining now even upon you in the midst of the darkness." Those uplifting words, it occurs to me, are not written during the time of Abraham and Sarah with all of their camels and cattle, when things were going well for Abraham and Sarah, nor were they written for King David with all of his military conquests, or King Solomon and all of his riches. They were written for a people in despair who were feeling hopeless, who were feeling in the darkness, feeling themselves in the darkness. Those were words for people who felt like quitting, like giving up, who felt like tossing in the towel. Perhaps sometimes how we feel in the day in which we live, when we fail to notice the darkness, and when we fail to notice the light already shining into the darkness. And as we reflect then on a text from Matthew where the wise men are guided by the light of the star and bring their gifts to the baby Jesus, it seems like there's a lot packed into those 12 verses there in Matthew's text. The journey of the Magi, the fear of Herod and all of Jerusalem with him, this powerful king frightened in a kind of ironic, even humorous way by this tiny baby in this obscure place. The chief priests and the prophecies, the Christ child and the gifts. And we know that there were gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and the foreboding dream that sends the Magi home by a different way rather than returning back to Herod. And then we have this troubling notion or realization in our minds that the wise man detour leads us right to the slaughter of the innocents. Herod's desperate attempt to kill this new king by ordering the murder of all boys in and around Bethlehem under the age of 2, hoping in that sweeping slaughter, that he gets everyone, including the supposed king. The story of slaughtered baby boys hits me very powerfully around this time, given the fact that we have a 5-month-old grandson. There's so much in this story. Good stuff, hard stuff, deep theological insights, maybe even ideas or concepts about the human condition. Even with all those things going on in the text, it seems that the part that drew me back again and again was the star. The Magi moving toward the light. The star pulling me in, like Steve used the image of the light drawing us here this morning. And on the one hand, it feels like I should be paying attention to some of this other hard stuff going on in this text. It's the star that seemed to kind of capture me. Maybe I was drawn to the star because of what Mary indicated about noticing the supermoon, trying to take pictures of it with her little iPhone, and showing me these pictures that were just totally underwhelming. Sorry, Mary. I knew it was great, even though you were up. I appreciate your efforts. You were up and I was still in bed, noticing the beauty while I was sleeping. The moon appeared so large and so bright, and I discovered, as I did a little reading, that it is the nearest to the earth that it will be all year right now. But if you missed it this week, you'll see it again the end of January, when there will be another full moon called the blue moon. Two full moons in 1 month happens about once every 2.5 years. Little sidebar of trivia there. There seems to be something of moons, of stars, of the night sky that fascinates us. Babies, too, are drawn to light. We've noticed that with William, that when he was only a few days old, he was turning toward the light out the window. And of course, the colorful lights of Christmas were so wonderful to him. We've noticed, too, that he turns toward the TV, and that TV captures his attention. We hope it's because of the light and not because he's already hooked on TV. Why is it that babies, why is it that we are so drawn to the light? And I wondered, is it that we are created in the image of God? One of the many metaphors for God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We are drawn to light because light maybe reminds us of our origins in God. In much of the artwork and the poetry about this story, the star holds a special place. This beautiful star of Bethlehem has captured the hearts and the imaginations of people for hundreds and hundreds of years. Poets and artists, musicians have explored the mystery of this object in the night sky that the mysterious Magi were drawn to as well. And I also read that actual historians and astronomers, those people seriously dedicated to the scientific reading of the night sky, pored over data and debate as to exactly what the Star of Bethlehem was all about. In fact, in 2014, there was a two-day colloquium at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands titled "The Star of Bethlehem, Historical and Astrological Perspectives." Really right, really true, it really happened. This colloquium brought 20 specialists together to engage in all the recent studies and specializations around the Star of Bethlehem. The bottom line is that they concluded is that we don't really know, and we'll probably never know. Was it a comet or a supernova, or what was it exactly that fascinated and drew these wise men? And just to know that in this conference and in other artists and us common folks, there's a common fascination. And then it occurred to me, yet despite the prominence of the star in our imaginations and our artistic endeavors, in reality the star must not have been all that prominent or impressive. Certainly it wasn't something that the average person wandering around the hills would have noticed on the nights in the night sky when there was absence of other lights, when it was pre-electricity days, and there were many, many stars. If everyone had noticed this particular star, then Jesus might have gotten more than those three presents, don't you think? People would have been flocking to Bethlehem to see this phenomenon, but only the Magi came. Three of them, or maybe two, or maybe a dozen, we don't really know for sure, and only a few people noticed and followed this astronomical anomaly. I wonder why the Magi noticed when others missed it. Even the scribes and scholars of Jerusalem who've been paying a special attention to the signs didn't notice this particular star. So why did the Magi see it? We don't even know who the Magi were in particular. We can assume that they had some training in studying and looking at the stars and studying the heavens, and they paid attention to charts likely, and the main thing is that they paid attention and they had patience. And they must have been paying attention to the night sky for many years, keeping notes for months, for years. And I see this shining star that captures their attention and their imagination. There were likely other magi as well, other than the ones who made the actual journey. They had courage. Maybe there were others that chose not to go. They noticed a star too, but it was those who went. I don't think this means that we should all be astronomers so that we can recognize the signs of the stars, but rather that we also learn to pay attention to the light. One of the beautiful things about Scripture, I think, is that it tells us of many ways that God speaks to people, of many ways that God has led people to the Christ. For example, we have Mary who's minding her own business when the angel shows up to her, indicating to her that she will become pregnant with the Christ. And once she gets past her fear and questions, she says, "Yes, let it be." And we have the shepherds who are doing their not so various glamorous jobs of hanging out in the fields in the cold nights. These smelly folks, we have them to whom the angels reveal this mystery and good news of the birth of the Christ among them. And once they get past their fear, they too say, "Yes, let it be," and they leave their sheep and they go to see the one revealed to them. And we have the disciples doing their not so glamorous job either of fishing when Jesus walks along the shore and says, "Hey guys, drop your nets, follow me." And once they get past their questions and their fear, they too say, "Yes, let it be." And they leave their nets and their IRS offices and follow. And we have Zacchaeus who wants to see Jesus, so he climbs up into the tree. And when Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house, he responds, "Yes, let it be, let's have lunch." And we have the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. In desperation, she makes her way through the crowd and reaches out to grab the hem of Jesus' robe. And she's saying, "Yes, let it be that I might be healed." These and other stories, our own stories. It may be a star, it may be a supermoon, it may be an angel, it may be a job, it may be a stranger's voice, it may be the face of a child, it may be sickness, it may be death of a friend. There's so many ways to notice the Christ among us. If we pay attention, if we step out in faith and follow, who can lead us, which can lead us to Christ, as happened for the Magi? So many stars, so many opportunities for us to pay attention, and then to say with all of these, yes, let it be. Let it be to us here at PMC. I used to, at one point in my spiritual life and walk of faith, think that the spiritual disciplines like Bible reading and study or prayer or fasting or works of service or meditation or whatever spiritual discipline it might be, I used to think that all of those things I did to please God so that God would be happy with me. I actually think I was taught that. But I've come to believe deeply within me that rather than us doing those things to make God happy, we do those things in order to notice, in order to have our senses honed and tuned to pay attention to where the light is being revealed to us. So, I'm continually invited back to those disciplines that I resist and sometimes engage with joy, and other times it feels dry and pointless, to pay attention, to get curious about what I'm noticing, what I'm not noticing, like the windows this morning that it took Lois to point out to me. And also then to expect the words, arise, shine, for your light has already come. Notice it. Pay attention. And then there's that last element of noticing, not just simply for the sake of noticing, but in order to return, like the Magi did, to return with the light of Christ, and to share that light, even as they return by a different route. Though we hear nothing more of the Magi, we may wonder how their journey affected them and what they shared with their families and friends and colleagues when they got back home. When we encounter Jesus, we too are sent in new directions, maybe back in some of the old directions, not simply as recipients of the light so that we might feel better or be better people, but as bearers of God's illuminating presence in the world. To this morning, before the benediction, you'll be invited to come and take a tea light that's up here in the front bench and light it from the Christ candle, putting it in here as your symbol of commitment to noticing the light and to be the light wherever you go. Amen.